following is a paid program. The opinions contained within do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or sponsors of News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310.
Inside the Law is presented to educate listeners in Monmouth and Ocean counties about legal issues. The opinions expressed by the host, guests, and phone callers are strictly their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Town Square Media and are not intended to be a substitute for personal legal advice from your own attorney.
Your questions and comments are welcome at 732-505-1160. Inside the Law, talk radio for the Jersey Shore.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another live edition of Inside the Law, brought to you by the law offices of Novi & Associates. We're the law firm that specializes in an ever-growing area of law known as elder law, which includes such areas of practice as asset protection, Medicaid planning, guardianships, estate planning, guardianships, settling estates, and much, much more. Every week, we literally take you, the listener, inside the law here on 1160 WOBM AM in Ocean County and 1310 AM in Monmouth County and all over the world on WOBMAM.com. And every week, we give you an opportunity to learn about a subject of interest, and we also give you an opportunity, if you have any questions about our subject matter or anything else of a legal nature, please feel free to call our studio. Our number is 732-505-1160. Our sound engineer, Lauren, is here to field your questions. And if you do call, she will pass those questions on to me, and we'll be glad to answer them. Today, you get two for the price of one, so to speak. You have two attorneys with you, myself, Bob Novi, and a friend and a colleague who's been practicing law a number of years, and I've known him in private practice and now as a public servant. Please welcome Ocean County Prosecutor Joe Coronado. And we're going to be talking about senior scams, what to look out for, and what to do if you or a friend or a neighbor has been the victim of, or you think you may be being solicited for a scam, and what steps you can take to protect yourselves, your loved ones, your property, and your family. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Bob.
Thank you so much for taking time out of a very busy schedule and sharing your morning with our listeners here on Inside the Law. Joe, how long have you been an attorney, first of all?
It's hard to believe, but it's been well over 35 years that I've been an attorney. It seems like only yesterday I was sworn in, but I've been an attorney for a little over 35 years now.
And as I recall, you were sworn in as Ocean County Prosecutor in 2013?
At the end of March of 2013, I became the prosecutor. I was nominated by Governor Christie,
right,
confirmed by the New Jersey Senate, and I was blessed to be named.
Well, we're blessed to have you. And I know your career as a public servant goes back much more before that. Tell the public a little bit about your background, if you will.
I guess after I got out of law school, I did a clerkship, and sometime after that, I was I went into the Attorney General's office. I became a Deputy Attorney General. I was in the Criminal Justice Division. I was able to try a variety of different cases. I prosecuted really the first environmental law case in the state of New Jersey. And, you know, I was in the drug unit at one point in time, and then I went into the organized crime unit. I did a lot of wiretapping and had significant trials when I was with the Attorney General's office. And then sometime afterward, I went into the Atlantic County Prosecutor's Office, became an assistant prosecutor in charge of homicides and major crimes. And then after a while, I decided that maybe it was the opportunity to go into private practice. I went to private practice in Toms River. I was fortunate enough to have a variety of practice. I did civil work, did planning board, did board of adjustment, became a board of ed attorney, municipal attorney, and so. And I stayed on as a municipal prosecutor in many towns. So I've had a variety of a background so far as legal work is concerned, and I was just fortunate enough that the governor selected me to be the prosecutor.
We have a large community here in Ocean County. It's grown in leaps and bounds, and as you know, a lot of our residents in Ocean County and Monmouth County, for that matter, are seniors. I guess they represent 25% or more of the population. Are there particular crimes and scams that criminals target towards seniors more than others?
Well, there's all kinds of predators that exist. And I could tell you this, in the last week or so, there seems to be a very a tremendous flux into the IRS scam. And basically what happens is somebody puts a call into a senior, puts a either through emails, through text messaging, saying that you owe the IRS money and that they're going to either get a warrant for your arrest or they're going to levy on your account. And what they're asking for is that you go and produce a money order or a green dot card. In other words, what they're looking for is cash, and that unless you do that, your accounts are going to be seized.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and the bottom line is, and this is what you need to tell your constituents here, that the only way the IRS contacts you in 99% of the time is by letter. Okay, you're not going to get a phone call from the IRS. You're not going to get an email from the IRS. You're not going to get a text message from the IRS. So those are the first signs, if you see something like that happening, that there's something awry here as it goes through. And the IRS is not going to be looking for cash. They're going to be looking for a check.
Correct.
Okay? And they're going to be mailing a letter to you. My suggestion would be that if you do get a letter, that you contact either your accountant, you contact your lawyer, just to make sure that what you're doing is on the up and up. But the bottom line is that this is they're predators, and they're preying on people and people to panic. And therefore, they're saying, send us $200, send us $500, send us, you know, right away. Otherwise, this is going to happen to you. And the fear element is put into place, and unfortunately, some people fall for it.
Another one I've heard about for years is these lotteries. And I get them even on my iPhone. I get these emails. Congratulations, you won the Nigerian lottery or this lottery or that lottery, or you've inherited money. Please contact us.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty familiar now, too.
Yeah.
You're going to get text messages so far as that, or you're going to get it, again, over the computer. You're going to say that, you know, congratulations, your long-lost uncle, your aunt, or, you know, that you have been selected or you've been nominated. And that what they're going to ask for is some of your identifying numbers. They're going to want some information. You know, they may even go so far as ask you to look at, they wanted to wire the money into your account. So please provide your account number,
right,
and your bank number and your routing number. And please, please don't do that. I mean, obviously, that is scary. But again, they're predators. They're preying. And, you know, people who think that all of a sudden they're going to come into money, look at, from my standpoint, nothing is ever free, and once you see that that's, you know, that somebody's giving you that opportunity, you know, the whistle should be going off, the bell should be going off, that there could be a problem here.
I know, and you know, you read about these things all the time, the Bernie Madoff schemes, the Ponzi schemes, these calls that people get from these so-called financial planners. We can offer you 10%, 15%, whatever. And the old saying that comes to mind is, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But, you know, people today, I guess, in these tough economic times are scrambling for income and for higher yield, so they can easily fall prey to these kinds of things.
Well, that's because they're on a fixed income.
That's true.
So, I mean, they're on a fixed income. They're trying to regulate their money. It's tough out there. You know, they're competing forces. And, again, you know, those people are always looking for that gold ring, so to speak. And if somebody offers it to you, you want to try to grab it and get it. And unfortunately, that's when you get snared into this fraud.
I know we're going to talk about other kinds of scams, but, and I, again, I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to 1160 WOBM AM in Ocean County and 1310 AM in Monmouth County and all over the world on WOBMAM.com. And if you have any questions, our phone line is 732-505-1160. And I also want to remind our listeners, as always, to have a pen and pad handy, because we give out a lot of important upcoming events and phone numbers and information that you want to take advantage of. But, Joe, at what point can the prosecutor's office get involved And I know how difficult it is because a lot of these scams are taking place offshore and out of the area. So it's very difficult, if not impossible, to track these people down, isn't it?
Well, it is difficult, but not impossible.
Okay.
And that's one thing you should know. I mean, one is that you should contact our office. The telephone number into our office is 732-929-2027. We want to know about it. I mean, if nothing else, even if we can't track it back, it's important for us to get the information out to educate people not to go there.
Okay.
So people would learn that. A lot of times when the calls come in and they're using phone numbers, when we trace the phone numbers back, it comes to another country. We find it's come back from India. We find it's coming offshore someplace. You know, that we do try to track it back. The bottom line is that they're going to use all different types of media to access these people. As I said, text messaging, they're going to be trying to go through the computer. There may even be stuff that they send in the mail that they send to you as they send out. So the bottom line is if you have any kind of questions, you may want to call, the prosecutor's office, or you may want to call Consumer Affairs, Ocean County Consumer Affairs, Steve Scaturo, who leads up that section. He does a tremendous job. And the bottom line is that we want to help people. That's what we're there for.
And I know that I've met some of the folks from the prosecutor's office who are involved in computer theft and computer crimes, and they do a very active job, among other things, tracking down pedophiles and folks like that through the Internet and through the computer.
Yeah, we have a tremendous computer lab, and I intend to enhance it even more. I want it to be the state of the art. There's my office, I want it to be second to none, and not only in the state but in the nation. We are going to be on the cutting edge with regard to that, and I'm very proud. I mean, I think that we can track back. It's amazing what my techs can do. It's kind of unbelievable to a certain extent. But the bottom line is that if somebody contacts you through the computer, somebody contacts you from the by the cell phone, don't give up. I think you contact us, you let us know. So far as the fact is that we actually have a mobile app. I'm into technology, and we have a mobile app.
Yeah, you just handed this to me. Tell the public what that's about, Joe.
Okay, well, what we did as part of our technology, this past summer, we put into every high school locker and every middle school locker a sticker. It's in the locker, and what the child can do is they can hold up their smartphone and download, based on the code, download our mobile app right into their phone. Once you download our app into the phone, you can contact our office through either email. You can contact the phone with automatically calling us by hitting a button. You can contact the phone, and if you want to send in the tip, there's drop downs within there that tells you about senior crime, drug crime, whatever the case may be. And you just hit a button, and within 2 seconds, it's actually into my office and reacting. So theoretically, if you see something happening, you take a picture of it, or you want to let the police know, if you have your phone and you hit that button, we're gonna know about it before the person, that defendant even leaves the scene. We're going
to
know about
that's
it.
That's a great idea, and what an awesome app to use in light of the technology that's available to the everyday citizen.
Absolutely.
Who can be a watchdog and help you be more efficient at tracking down criminals and protecting the public.
Yeah, and there's videos on there. There's a bunch of information. I mean, you can also find out, you know, if there's sex offenders in your area. The app also will help you locate those. So this app, which is free, you load onto your smartphone, is just unbelievable. And of course, we're on Facebook and we're on YouTube and we're on Instagram and we're out there. And the bottom line is, we want to use all the technology of today to not only for seniors, but for the youth, so that we can stay in touch.
Our phone lines are open. Our number here at the studio is 732-505-1160. Lauren, I understand someone just called in.
Yes. Sophie from Beachwood, she asked, if you do fall prey to any of these scams, who would you contact and what information would you need?
Good question.
Okay. Basically, you're going to do is call my office again. That's 732-929-2027. Okay. You're going to describe when you speak to somebody out there, tell them what the problem is, and they'll either locate you to our senior crime center. They may send you over to the computer crime center, but they will ferret out where you should go. Okay. The other thing you can do is you can email us. Okay. And you know, we have our site. You can go on to the OceanCountyProsecutors.org. You can search through the Google search if you don't want to take down the actual address. The bottom line is you can do text messaging, you can email us, and also you can call in. So whatever way that you want to contact my office, we're good to go.
And, Joe, I know I've had clients do this in the past. As a matter of fact, I had a client in my office just this past week. I'll say her name is Millie. Millie is a client of ours at Novi & Associates, and she was a victim of a financial abuse by a neighbor. And the prosecutor's office worked with her, brought in a grand jury indictment against this neighbor who stole money from her checking account. And as the case was progressing through the criminal justice system, she was contacted by someone in the victim's rights section of the prosecutor's office who, as I understand, explained to her that she had a right to be heard. The prosecutor's office, the investigators worked with her, kept her abreast of the status of the criminal proceedings, and was told that she could appear. The defendant did, in fact, plead guilty, and my client was offered an opportunity to appear in court if she chose to address the court before sentencing, to share with the court firsthand her experiences and how this crime adversely affected her life. And I know that your victim's rights section does just that, doesn't it?
The victim rights section is not unique, okay, but we're trying to drive it to a new level. I mean, right now, if I have a victim, I want to make sure the victim knows every phase of the case that's going on. So we can let the victim know through emails, okay, the status of the case. They're automatically going to be called when there's an adjournment of the case, when the case is set up for conference, what's happening with the case. So instead of the victim saying, I don't know what's going on with my case, they will get messaging all the time to tell them what's going on with the case, or they'll have a site in which they can go to find out what the status of the case is. They're assigned a victim witness individual, so they'll have a name that they can call into or they can email into all the time to find out what's going on in the case. And it's, what's important to me is that people understand what's going on. I want the victims to be aware and to be a part of the system.
You know, there's been a lot of good press lately about it, and I ran into one of your investigators who's been in law enforcement a lot of years, Bob Peck, who I know is involved with Tina's House. Could you describe that a little bit? Because I don't know how many people that are listening to today's show and Inside the Law are aware of the purpose of Tina's House.
Well, Tina House it's an advocacy center, and basically what it is that we have children that are sexually abused or women who are sexually abused, and right now we're in the process to be nationally approved. In other words, I'm looking for national certification of our house. So we just had a grand reopening of it. Basically what happens is that the victim, is instead of being brought to a police station or being brought to a hospital, is brought to what we now call Tina's House. And unfortunately, Tina Rambo, who was a detective in our office, died in a car accident, but she was dedicated to child advocacy, and this section of the home or the section of the office we've dedicated to her. And basically, we've made it look like a house. And what happens is you're brought in. You don't want the victims to be a victim a second time.
To be traumatized unnecessarily.
Exactly. So what happens is that, you know, the children have a children's play area. When they're there, they wouldn't even know that they're in an office. It looks like they're in somebody's home. And we can have conversations with them, and we do it in a professional manner, in a setting that doesn't, again, traumatize that individual. Everything is recorded. You know, even we do physical exams. We have our own nurses who do the physical examinations. And this is now the state of the art, because Ocean County deserves nothing but the best. And the bottom line is this, is that we take that victim and we want to hold people accountable for their actions. That's important to me. But at the same time, I don't want to victimize the person a second time.
Victimize the victim, so to speak.
That's correct. So the bottom line is that we've set up this facility. I believe it's a state of the art. I believe that we'll get national certification with regard to it. And, you know, I'm thrilled. I know that the people in my office are engaged.
And I understand that the prosecutor's office also works closely with the office of county freeholders on domestic abuse and different programs.
I'm always in contact with Freehold Director Vicari. The freeholders, again, they've stepped up to the plate, so to speak, to help us with the money to be able to facilitate the place. And I really have to thank the community because there's people like Investors Bank, there is Ashley Furnitures, there's the Citta Foundation, the Grunin Foundation, and there's so many more. I'm afraid to name them all because I'll forget somebody, but they all have made substantial contributions to this fund. And the bottom line is that, when women are assaulted and we have to take their clothes, for instance, that's a humbling experience. You need to have clothes ready for them.
Sure.
The same thing with children as they come in. And, we have a little game room. And because if you have a child who is sexually assaulted and the sibling comes along, you need a place for the sibling to play. You want to feel them at home. You don't want to bring them into a cold office. None of these people see detectives walking around with guns. None of them see lawyers walking around. But the detectives and the lawyers are only 15 feet away. They're on the other side of the wall. There's cameras. It's professionally done, and I'm very proud of that unit.
Which I'm sure also can help the witness feel, frankly, more comfortable and more willing to communicate and share what happened, so that can aid in the prosecution of these criminals, so hopefully it doesn't happen to somebody else again in the future.
Well, we have to do our job the right way.
Right.
If we do our job the right way, our cases are put together. They're locked, done cases, okay? And we have a tremendous success rate, and we're going to drive that. And again, it's important to me to hold these predators accountable. I mean, unfortunately, you have senior scams, you have sexual scams, you have them as they go all the way through, but it's my job as the prosecutor to hold people accountable for their actions.
As we're talking, folks, I said earlier about having a pad and pen handy. The prosecutor's office has a whole host of information, as Joe Coronado just mentioned, through their website. They also have, I know, an active speakers bureau. And, Joe, can you tell our listeners, and then I'm going to talk a little bit briefly about our speakers bureau at Novena Associates, but, Joe, so what are some of the programs that are available to the public? If anyone listening to today's show on Inside the Law would like to perhaps invite you or one of your staff to come out and give a talk, again, how do they do so, and what are some of the subjects and information that's available for people to learn more about?
Well, we do have a speakers bureau. We have PowerPoints. We have videos. We do forums. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of forums. We want to be out in the public to advise them as to what's going on in their county and what to be aware of. Right now, that there's a drug epidemic in Ocean County, not only in Ocean County, but throughout the state of New Jersey and really in the entire country.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So the bottom line is that we do have bureaus that speakers who can go out and address this. We really, we're into not only putting people and holding them accountable, but, I happen to believe that we need to rehab people that have a drug problem. It's an illness. It's an addiction that's taking place, and we need to break this chain site, the cycle of addiction that they're caught in. So we're willing to go out, and we do talk to both into the schools. We're into the schools all the time. Speaking and educating and communicating. It's all about communication, Bob. That's what it's all about. And we'll certainly go to any senior function or to any senior center, talk about anything with senior citizens, about the scams that take place against seniors, about the drug problem, child abuse. There's so many areas of the law that we can get into, and so many areas of the laws that we do, that we're more than happy to come out and to explain. People should understand that in county government, we are an agency that wants to tell people what we do, how we do it, and why we do it.
In addition to the app that you mentioned that people can download and have on their iPhone, are there ways that the community in one way, shape, or form can kind of volunteer in some fashion and kind of be like additional watchdogs to help you and help our law enforcement officials on a local, municipal, and county level?
Well, that's a little bit more difficult because, we are law enforcement and we are in prosecution. So to a certain extent, we need sworn officers, and there is regulations that we have to abide by. What you can do, though, okay, is that if you see something, is let us know. Okay, as a citizen, there's a duty to do that. So if you see something or have an idea that something's going on, I think the safe and best way to do it is to notify my office. It's then incumbent upon me as the prosecutor to take that information and to do something with it. I'll give you an example. Since we've been going out and speaking about the heroin epidemic and the drug problem that we have here, I would say that we have gotten more information. I would say the information is 85 to 90% accurate. The leads that we're getting from people calling up saying, hey, we know about this house, we know about this individual, or we see this car, or this is what's going on in the corner, we're checking it out.
Unusual activity, people coming in our neighborhood, odd hours of the day and night.
Yeah, and I'm telling you.
A lot of traffic in a neighborhood area.
And I'm telling you, the information is right on. I mean, right on. So, I mean, my guys, we are working harder. I've gotten the police departments have assigned additional detectives. One of the things that we've done is we've increased our detectives within the prosecutor's office by getting assigned detectives from all the local municipalities so that without raising any taxpayers, I now have a group of larger detectives that working in my office cooperating together, and it's all about communication. And as a result, we're a much more effective team. And, again, we're just now reacting to all the calls, to all the emails, to all the little tips that we're getting, okay? And as I said to you, the tips are just pretty much right on.
That's good to know. So, again, folks, if you're listening to today's show and you'd like to hear from a representative of the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office, perhaps host a seminar that they'd be glad to come out and present on senior scams, abuse, financial, domestic abuse or violence, or any other topic involving law enforcement and what's going on and the technology that's out there and what the prosecutor's office is doing to combat crime, which affects all of us in one way, shape, or form, please call the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office at 929-2027. And I guess, Joe, they would ask for Miriam, who would arrange for someone from the Speaker's Bureau to come out and talk.
Absolutely. We have, again, we'll send a detective. We have it's either going to be a detective or it's going to be an assistant prosecutor. They're going to have PowerPoints. They're going to have videos. They're going to have demonstrations. You know, I want to make sure that we are the best when we go out and that we communicate. And it's all about communication.
And along those same lines, we at Novian Associates have a speakers bureau. And among others, we have some upcoming events. As a matter of fact, this coming week on October 14th, I'll be speaking to the Jersey Shore chapter of the 1013. And the 1013 stands for Officer in Need of Assistance. And we'll be speaking at the Manasquan Elks to the Jersey Shore folks. We're looking forward to that. Then on November 5th, I'll be speaking at Charlie Brown's in Lakewood on estate planning. On November 6th, at the Harrogate, which is a continuing care community, I'll be speaking on aging in place in conjunction with the Caregiver Volunteers of Central Jersey. And also on November 11th, we'll be presenting a continuing education seminar for financial planners, accountants, attorneys, and others at Jumping Brook on end of life planning, on estate planning, financial planning, the Affordable Care Act, and much, much more. So to learn more about these seminars and upcoming shows on Inside the Law, please view our website at www.novilaw.com. And one last thing I want to mention before we resume with Prosecutor Joe Coronado, our law firm is embarking upon a new electronic newsletter. So if those of you are existing clients of ours, but we may or may not have your email address, please email my marketing director, Jake Mason. That's jmason@novilaw.com. If you send him your email address, we'll make sure that you receive an electronic version of our newsletter, which should be coming out shortly. If, on the other hand, you don't have an email address and you want to receive a hard copy of it, please call Jake Mason at 732-657-0600. And if you give Jake your name, address, He will be glad to make sure that we mail a copy of our newsletter to you, because we like to stay connected and keep you, our listeners, and our clients and the public informed as to what's happening in elder law and estate planning, and tips that you can incorporate to preserve and protect your legacy and make a difference for future generations as well. Joe, is it fair to say that crime on any way, shape, or form, regardless of what segment of society it affects, really affects us all and also affects us economically as well?
Well, I think that we have to understand, at least in Ocean County, I think our crime rate is going to change as a result of that we're addressing the drug issue. I think that most of our crime, I'd say 75 to 80% of our crime, comes from drugs. And I think that if we attack that area and we go there, that we will drive those numbers down. You're always going to find those predators, though, that are going to be, trying to contact you and tell you that you can get something for nothing, which you know is not the case. I mean, I think you have contractors now here as a result of Sandy that are going to come in, and they're going to be going into the senior citizens and tell you, look, I can repair your roof, or I can, take care of this or take care of that from your home. And, when the contractors come in, I think you have to do your due diligence. Again, you may want to contact the Better Business Bureau to find out whether they are registered or not. You may want to find out from Consumer Affairs who they are. I could suggest that you do this, that you don't pay in cash, that you pay with a check. When they come in, never pay them full, okay, because then you'll never see them again, and away they go. The problem is they'll tell you that they're doing work in the area. So if they are doing work in the area, you should ask them who they're doing work for and how the work has progressed, and make sure you contact that person.
To make sure that if, in fact, they're working at that site, that consumer or homeowner is happy with the work that's being done, allegedly.
Yeah, and what may happen in some instances, they go in and they ask for a deposit. Say, I can't get started unless I have a deposit. And then, in fact, what they do is they have a small amount of wood or a small amount of supplies delivered. And then they say, well, wait a minute, I've had another job. I can't get back to you. But you know what? If you can give me a little bit more money, okay, I'll be here. And before you know it, you've paid more than 50 or 75% of what the total cost of the job is, and they still really haven't done any work, even though they've delivered a couple boards for you. So the bottom line is that there's all kinds of scams. In fact, as funny as it turns out, yesterday when we were confirming to come on air with you, at my office, at the prosecutor's office, my secretary received a call saying that she owed money to JCP&L. Now, the bottom line is they're calling into the prosecutor's office.
How scary is that?
And they're saying that the electricity is going to be turned off.
That's the ultimate chutzpah.
All right. So, I mean, unfortunately, we switched them over, tracked the phone, went right after them as to where it is. But obviously, when you get a call from the utility, claiming to be the utility company, that your power, your phone's going to be shut off and that you have to go down and you have to put a deposit, that's not how they reach you either.
No. Like the IRS, they're going to send you a written letter.
Right.
To tell you your account is delinquent, and if you don't make it whole, we're going to turn off your power by a certain date.
Yeah, so in the office, they said, well, here you're going to talk about senior crime. We get a call right into the office. But, again, you have to understand, these are people that are usually – they're actually not in our country. They're offshore, that they may be calling in. There's a routing number that they're using. And what happens is they're just making these calls. And, make 1,000 of these calls or 2,000 of calls. And all they need is one or two people to send in $200 or $300 or $500 so supposedly pay their electric bill, and they're good to go. They've completed the crime.
And I know that speaking to seniors who I have represented for the last 38 years of my career, seniors have sometimes been victimized and defrauded and scammed, but they're afraid to come forward because they're embarrassed. And they're afraid that if the kids learn of the scam, the kids will take away the car, they'll take away the checkbook, they'll move a guardianship on them, or what have you. But by virtue of that scam or crime going unreported, unfortunately, it allows the criminal to perpetuate it and continue to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, You know, another one is like a computer virus. You're on your computer, and a lot of seniors today are on their computers. And all
more
of a sudden,
than you and I realize.
Right. And all of a sudden, they get a notice saying, oh, wait a minute, your computer's too slow, or there's something wrong with your computer. But if you hit this button, we can help you out. We can clean your computer. Please, please do not do that.
No.
Okay? Because what happens is they're remotely going in, and they're getting all your financials. They're getting whatever you've put into that computer. A lot of times you forget the information that you've put into your computer, but they'll be able to weed it out and get it. And now you actually have given them the keys to your accounts.
That reminds me of another one, Joe, and I recommend that the seniors, like you just mentioned, before they're hiring a contractor, check with Consumer Affairs to see if there have been prior complaints about that person. We know as attorneys, certain criminal matters are public record. Civil matters, credit issues can be discovered publicly. If lawsuits have been brought against the vendor or contractor and judgments have been obtained against them, that's public record. So you can have a search done against those individuals. Some of the clubhouses in some of the adult communities have like their own kind of watch list. So if a contractor has been in that village and did shoddy work, or took money and didn't come back and finish the work, or complaints were lodged against the contractor, the association will have a list of who those bad business people are. And the people that live in those adult communities can check with their clubhouse, check with their association office, or even the gatehouse to find out who some of these people are before they hire them and give them money. It reminds me also, Joe, you know, as elder law attorneys, we often get into powers of attorney and other documents. And people will ask me, well, if I give someone my power of attorney and they abuse the power, they exceed the authority I wanted them to have, or they misuse the power of attorney, what can I do to prevent that abuse of power to continue? And I'll say to the client, first of all, you should notify your bank or any financial house where you have funds on deposit. Notify them that that power of attorney has been canceled or rescinded. Of course, if it's a criminal matter, you should notify the prosecutor's office, the police department, or what have you. And in some rare cases, the people may not want to bring criminal charges or prosecute the person, especially if it's a family member. But I have recommended that the person consider having a formal written revocation or cancellation of the power of attorney prepared and recorded in the clerk's office. I don't know if there's anything else you would suggest on top of that, or do you think that's about as far as a person might go short of notifying the prosecutor's office of that abuse?
Well, unfortunately, we have several cases like that in the office right now,
right,
where there has been abuse that has taken place. And, you know, you wouldn't realize it, but either they have a gambling problem, they'll have an alcohol problem, there'll be some problem in which they go in and they keep hitting that trust account, where they keep hitting that authority.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it's like letting the fox into the hen house, so to speak. And,
right,
you know, now you have a problem. Again, you need to be aggressive. The first thing you need to do is go to an attorney that you trust and that you've relied on. Hopefully you've had one over the years, or obviously know via associates. But the bottom line is that either that or you're going to contact my office, okay, and we're going to get on board. And let me tell you something, we're going to react very, very quickly because we know time is of the essence with regard to this. But unfortunately, once it has occurred, okay, then you're chasing, okay, and you're trying to chase to see if you can get the money back, or at least, and from my standpoint, stop the bleeding that has taken place. And, you know, we're going to be running into court to try to freeze the accounts, to try to communicate with the bank to hold up on what's occurring. But the bottom line is that your recommendations are well-founded, meaning that you know somehow or another you have to stop that guardianship, you have to stop that power of attorney, you have to seize it. And, you know, I guess the difference is whether it's revocable or irrevocable, and, you know, what kind of controls when it was first set up doesn't make a difference in how to proceed.
Along those same lines, Joe, you know, one of the frequent talking points that we discuss with clients both on the radio and in public and speaking engagements, and people are coming to our office every day, is the area of aging in place and the worry about Medicaid and nursing homes and losing control of their affairs and the cost of all of that. So they'll discuss, well, if I or my spouse need a caregiver, why don't I hire a caregiver to keep me home because it's private, I still have the enjoyment of my community. I can still socialize with my friends and neighbors and family. And I, as an elder lawyer, are all in favor of that. But to sometimes save a few dollars, the client or someone listening to today's show might unwittingly, frankly, bring a crook into their house by hiring an undocumented home health aide, someone who has no skill, training, license. There is no background check, credit check done on that person. And to save a few dollars, rather than going through a certified home health agency, they bring someone to the house. They may or may not be competent in what they're doing, but who's overseeing the home health aide? And I've seen in your office has investigated cases like that where people have been victimized by those folks as well. So what I say to our listeners here in Inside the Law is we all want to save money and make our budget list and stretch the budget as far as we can. But to save a few dollars on one end, you may be, frankly, as you said, putting the fox in charge of the chicken coop. So we always recommend background checks, and that's why we recommend working with a certified home health agency. And even when a home health agency is coming into a house and putting a caregiver into the house, whether it's on an hourly basis or on a 24-hour live-in basis, we will recommend an appraisal be done of the house, of the contents of the house, of the personal property of the house. And we'll tell our clients, don't leave your credit cards, don't leave your checkbooks, don't leave a lot of cash laying around, jewelry laying around, because, you know, human nature is being what it is. You don't want to plant a seed in anybody's mind to take something that doesn't belong to them.
Well, I've actually seen it both ways. I mean, clearly, I know that, you know, people are looking for that one-on-one contact. And, you know, they can go through an agency or they can get a recommendation from a friend. I think it's all incumbent upon that person and the family of that elderly person to check out who's coming into the house. You have to go in and do your checks. Okay, you just don't assume. You need to make the calls. You need to vet that person. You need to go in and find out who it is. And if you don't feel comfortable that you can do it by yourself, then you should contact either your daughter or a close family member to go in and to check who that person is, who you're inviting into the house. Bottom line is this, is that you don't want to let that predator there, and that's what you need to be careful of. So I couldn't agree with you more.
And we've actually had private investigators come in and do those background checks for us if the person wants to hire someone through word of mouth and they seem to be appropriate, they seem to be able to do the job, but frankly, we're not sure ourselves if the resume they hand us is bona fide or not. We've actually had investigators who, in the private sector, go out and check the person's credentials to verify if, in fact, they are legitimate. And sometimes it's worked, and the client was well served by hiring that person, even if it wasn't through an agency. But as you said, Joe, you don't want to assume anything because we all know what the word assume can lead to.
And while we're on this topic, yes, I did want to raise one other issue if I could. When you have these people in your house, believe it or not, you're talking about money and jewelry. What's also of concern to me is medication.
Good point.
You have a lot of seniors who come in who are on automatic refill. They get all kinds of medication, especially when they're ill and they're trying to feel better. And you know, they don't count the pills. They don't know how many pills they have in their bottle. And what could happen here is that what we're finding out is whether it can be grandchildren, it could be your children, or it could be your healthcare aide. They'll go into the medicine chest, okay? And if you may have 50 Oxycontins, would you know that now there's not 50 there, but there's only 40 there? Okay, they've taken those 10 Oxycontins, and those Oxycontins then are sold and distributed. Because drug addiction really starts with the medicine chest. It starts with pills. If you look at the opiate problem and the heroin problem, it starts with pills. That's why we have drop boxes now in all the police departments.
Thank you for reminding me about that.
So that's important that people understand that, you know, how do you dispose of this medication when you need to get rid of it? When somebody passes or you're not using the medication anymore, you don't really want to just flush it down the drain.
No.
What you really want to do is you want to bring it to a place and you say, I don't know where to bring it. Well, now you can bring it to your local police department. And you remember those old mailboxes that you used to be able to mail letters with?
Well, yes.
We repainted them. We put them into the police department. And you then, what you can do is just bring your medication right into there, Okay, and then my office once a week goes and picks up all the medication from all the different police departments that are in there out of those boxes, and we destroy them. The bottom line is that we need to watch and to look to see about medication. It starts in the home. And, again, people don't realize. I know, you know, I'm a dad, but I never counted the pills that were in the bottle. I just you know, it's in my medicine chip. I wouldn't know that somebody can come in while they're using the bathroom facilities, go into the medicine chest and take one or two or five or 10 or 20 pills. I wouldn't even know that was happening, and then they get sold on the black market.
Now, the question that we sometimes run into, frankly, Joe, as elder law attorneys, is when we're either handling a guardianship and someone does have to leave the home and enter a facility, or when someone passes away, we're settling an estate, we discover firearms in the house. Whether the person who owned the firearm had it legitimately, they had the right credentials to own one, whether they were retired military, maybe they were retired law enforcement, so they had this firearm. Now that they've passed away or the firearm shouldn't be in the house anymore, what do we do with it? And normally what we'll do is, frankly, we'll call the local police department, and someone from the police department will come and take possession of that weapon. Are there any other recommendations you might make in a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's not a bad idea to call the police department with any kind of weapon, so I would never say don't do that. Okay, but there's another option, and that is you contact a reputable gun dealer, which you can find from, let's say, from the police department, and we can give you a list of three or four people that are reputable gun dealers.
Okay.
And then you would deliver the guns to that gun dealer. That gun dealer then sells the guns, okay, and you get money for it. So the bottom line is there's no reason why. That probably there is some value into that, but you can't turn around and sell your gun or give your gun to anybody. That's a no-no. Okay. So the bottom line is that what you really want to do is do it the legal and proper way to do that, and that is by going by a registered gun dealer who then will mark that gun, will sell the gun appropriately, and then you will receive the cash from that gun.
Do you also, I don't know whether your office does it or local police departments do it, and that is provide aging sensitivity to folks in law enforcement to be able to spot aging issues that you frequently run into with seniors who may exhibit signs of dementia, that they're at risk, they're harmed, and maybe they need an intervention?
Well,
more common sense?
Well, that is a very good question. Unfortunately, the burden really is left on the family. Okay, and what the family should do when they go to visit mom and dad, they should realize after a while that there's a problem here. Now, I understand and I get it because I had both my mom and dad recently passed. But the bottom line is this, that you go in and you know that, you know, who's going to the food store for them, who's taking them to the doctor, who's taking them for this testing, and it goes in and they're out there driving. And what you should do at some point in time is drive along with your parents or drive along with your loved ones, just to see how they operate a car, just to see how nimble they are, you know. And I know that I know when I was prosecuting in a local municipality that the person who was driving the car was the one who had the license, but the person who was really telling her what to do was her healthcare person who was sitting in the passenger side, and she would tell the woman, okay, stop at the stop sign, make a right, slow down a little bit, and you know, all you'd have to do is be there with those two in the car, and you realize, oh, my God, what do you have? Okay.
An accident waiting to happen, literally.
Absolutely. So the bottom line is that, again, let's go back to common sense. It's incumbent on family members to check in and to relate to their loved ones and to make that protocol. And I know it's not an easy decision, but you got to make the right decision. It's all about doing the right thing. And bottom line, hopefully somebody today, you know, will save a life.
And I'm always concerned, Joe, as you are, that many times folks that live here in Ocean and Monmouth County, frankly, either don't have families or the families are literally out of the area, perhaps out of the state or even out of the country. So it becomes incumbent on the rest of us, the listeners here on Inside the Law, who may have friends and neighbors who are exhibiting these signs of being nimble and at risk, to frankly take affirmative steps. You can call anonymously. For example, you can call the local police department. I know you can call the Ocean County Office of Senior Services, Adult Protective Services. They will sometimes go out and do their own investigation. And I'll share a little personal tidbit. Years ago, I had to move my mom and dad down here from Hudson County, and they moved into a continuing care community. And my brother one day saw my dad driving, and my dad was a professional truck driver his whole life. And my brother saw my dad driving and going through stop signs and whatever. And my brother said to my dad, "Dad, you shouldn't drive anymore. Look at what you're doing." He said, "I drive better than half the guys that live in this place." And my brother said, "Yeah, but look at who you're comparing yourself to." So fortunately, we were able to get the car away from my dad, which is not an easy thing to do, but it was a necessary thing before he frankly hurt himself or someone else on a highway. So we do have to be proactive, and if we see people at risk, to make the right call. And it's not just the driving. If anyone listening to today's show knows that their neighbor isn't getting the right nutrition, their mail's being just cluttered in the mailbox, newspapers are sitting in the driveway for days on end, and you suspect the person's home but you can't get them on the phone, call someone. Call the Office of Senior Services. Call your local police department. But, you know, we can perhaps, as you said, Joe, save a life.
Yeah, I think the county has stepped up in this regard, in the sense that they've got buses, they've got senior services, Meals on Wheels. There's just a bunch of things out there that you need to make the calls to find out what's available. A lot of times people don't realize that these services are out there. And, you know, it's a tough call. It's a tough call for any family because, you know, a senior, their lifeline has always been their car, their vehicle, and where they are. And they're concerned about the fact that they're going to lose that independence. But, you know, it's not only the safety of that individual, that senior, but also the other people, children and other people that are on the road that we need to be mindful of.
Exactly. And if there are other services that anyone listening to today's show would like to learn more about as far as services available to seniors, many of which are either funded by our Board of Freeholders and or are free, you can call the Ocean County Office of Senior Services, and their number is 732-929-2091. They have a resource directory which has a wealth of information about the subjects that Freeholder Vicari is involved with as director, Prosecutor Joe Coronado is involved in, that we talked about today. And you mentioned, Joe, consumer protection, the Ocean County Office of Consumer Affairs. If you want to do a background check, so to speak, on a vendor or a contractor before you hire them, you can call the Department of Consumer Affairs at 929-2105. So, folks, you're not alone. There are a lot of resources out there, and it's all about informing you, keeping you safe in your home, and aging in place.
Great.
Joe, we have about literally 2 minutes left. Is there any summary you'd like to share with our listeners today on the show?
Well, I want people to understand. I know that we've talked about the fact that there's a drug epidemic in Ocean County, and we were the first county to implement Narcan, which is an antidote to the opiate, so that when somebody is suffering through an overdose seizure and that, you know, they're possibly passing, the police now are have this antidote with them and that they can use it. I want people to understand that, yes, and we've saved so far today over 100 people so far since we've implemented this program as of April 6th of this year. But I want people to understand that this is only the first phase of the program. The second phase is that when the police or EMS is bringing that individual that overdosed to the hospital, we know we need now to, what I say is, capture them. In other words, to break that cycle of addiction, and we need to help those people so that they're not continuing going out and using heroin or using an opiate or using those pills anymore. And we're working hard, both with the Board of Health, with the Commissioner of Health, and the Commissioner of Human Resources, to implement a program. That program hopefully will be coming out very shortly, so that one is, we have the first part of the program, which is the initiation of using the Narcan, and the second part of the program is going to be is helping that person kick that addiction.
Joe, again, thank you for spending your time. Congratulations on your appointment. I know Ocean County is a much safer place, to raise our families and to grow an agent place. Thanks to your tutelage as Ocean County Prosecutor, and thank you for spending your morning with us on Inside the Law. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless. We'll be back with another edition 2 weeks from today. Be safe and be healthy. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Bye-bye.